It appears that George Bush has authorized the formation of a board of inquiry, which is the first step in moving towards getting to federal court and trying to get a Taft-Hartley injunction against the lockout.
Now, help me out here, because, you know, I've always thought that Taft-Hartley applied only to strikes. I mean, has it ever been invoked to break up a lockout?
The law explicitly applies to both lockouts and strikes, and there have been some situations that are extremely complicated where there was a combination of strike and lockout, and the law was invoked. So this is it's unusual, but it's not extraordinary.
Okay, maybe you could take me through the mechanics of how this would work. I mean, how would how precisely would the Bush administration intervene, and how long would this process take?
Well, it could happen very quickly. The Board of Inquiry is chosen by the president, subpoenas witnesses, and determines whether, makes a report on whether the lockout or strike is imperiling the national health and security. And they report back to the president. And based on that report, the president then can empower the attorney general to go to federal district court and seek an injunction, in this case against the employers who have locked out the workers. And injunctive relief would require the employers to open the ports and the workers to return to work and resume the status quo. There could be some legal dispute here over what is the status quo. The employer may try to argue that the status quo is the contract that expired on July 1st. The union has been working without a contract since September 1st, so the union will argue that that is the status quo. So that's basically what it's going to look like. Now, if they're successful in getting this injunctive relief, then you're looking at an 80-day cooling-off period. At the end of the 80-day cooling-off period, if no settlement has arrived been reached between the parties voluntarily, then the government can ask that the workers in the ILWU to do a secret ballot election on the employer's last offer. And if that's voted up, then that contract would be in force and effect. If it's voted down, which is what is likely, then the union is free to strike, or the employer is free to lock the workers out again.
And in terms of Taft-Hartley, would there be any other avenue for the Bush administration to intervene again after an 80-day cooling off?
That's basically it. As to my understanding, we've never gotten, we've gotten in 1971 on the waterfront. We had the 80-day cooling off period, and then we had a 134-day strike after the cooling off period, which was settled by the parties without further government intervention.
Now, we've heard some reports, especially from the Union of Naval Dock Workers, who've been furloughed, perhaps in San Diego, to intervene to help break a strike, or if there's any kind of long-term shutdown. Do you know anything about this?
I have no direct knowledge of it. I've heard the same thing you've heard: Navy SEALs training to handle the crane work, which is the most skilled and difficult work on the waterfront. I don't think that would be particularly effective. This is, highly skilled work and highly dangerous work, and work that's extremely costly in terms of loss of human life and damage to property if you have untrained personnel working on the docks. So I think that would be a very dangerous move on the part of the Bush administration, not only because it wouldn't help much in terms of getting production done, but because it would immediately internationalize the dispute. 33 dock worker federations around the world have passed resolutions of support and commitment to the ILWU. And bottom line, if, cargo is loaded by the military, it's not likely to be unloaded in places like Japan and Australia.
What do you think the union has in its court right now? If you were with the ILWU, what are your options right now?
Well, I think the union needs to make its case to the American people that this is this is an important situation, not only for the 10,500 workers of the ILWU or the 14 million members of the AFL-CIO, but it's really an issue about power and control in American society. Many have made light or criticized the fact that these ILWU workers are so strong and have such good wages and benefits and job guarantees, but I guarantee you that if you talk to those workers from WorldCom and Enron and Tyco and Adelphia who lost their pensions and their futures because of the arbitrary corporate activities of business criminals, that they would probably wish for a little bit of old-fashioned trade unionism right now.